Okay, I think we are going to start. Is it 34? Yeah, it is now 12:34, so we're going to start. Welcome, everybody. Great to see everyone again. And what I want to do is I want to actually, I guess, have a footnote from yesterday's conversation. Many of you were part of it. And something else that I was thinking about, and yesterday the topic was the notion of humility. And why is it when we talk about Moshe Anav Mikol Adam, why is, shall we say, humility or being an Anav, really is be faithful to the Hebrew language, why is it that being an Anav specifically merited, or shall we say, made Moshe worthy to speak to the Shekhinah? And, you know, if we want to talk about the Moshe being Anav is really about humility, well, then why didn't the Torah identify him as being Anav Mikol Adam way back earlier by this now? Why is it now he's being identified at this juncture in time when his brother and his sister say something about him? And so yesterday we highlighted this notion that a person who's Anav is a person who is not speaking about kavod, they're not speaking about honor for themselves, but rather they are, if someone says something negative about them, they don't feel the need to respond. They don't feel the need to, shall we say, degrade the other person. They're so comfortable, so confident in who they are and what they are, they don't have a sense of ego. And the second stage to that, I believe, is something that I don't think the whole time today, but the second stage to that is, you know, here's Moshe Rabbeinu. He stands on Har Sinai. He's able to receive the Torah. He stands up to, like, Paro. He, you know, when there's, like, a Hebrew slave being beat up, he's able to stand up and to knock out that Egyptian taskmaster. When there are Jews that are fighting, he intervenes. When there are shepherds who are picking on these, you know, shall we say, damsels in distress, he also intervenes. He's not a guy who's, let's say, quiet at all. But rather, what does he do? He kind of has no, he has an ability to really stand up for what is right. And he has an incredible resume. So what does it mean he's a Nav Mikol Adam? So I think the other part to this is that why does the Torah tell us, B'chol Beiti Nemanu? Why is it that specifically Hashem tells us, the Torah identifies, that he's always welcome in my house. He can get an entrance at any point in time. So I think, and again, this connects to what we said yesterday, was why does Moshe do what does he do? Meaning, if a person is all about their own ego and their resume being built, and they accomplish incredible things, but at the end of the day, it comes back to them, then I think that has a very negative tendency and is not going to lead to a person to really be able to attain their greatness. Because if a person's like, listen, why am I doing all these things? I want to put a resume that I spoke to God in Har Sinai. That's like a pretty cool resume builder. You know what I mean? Like in the Shidduch world, that I'll do well, right? If I have my resume that I spoke to God, right? Like that's gonna look very good. You know, maybe a little intimidating, but I mean, some people think he's crazy, but you know, we know that's true about Moshe Rabbeinu. Most people say that they're just little nuts. But you know, if people really well, listen, I should be careful. Anyone can speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds directly, that's the Bichidosh. So be very careful what I say. So we can speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu anytime we want. That's what we say, you know, Kiyadash Shomei Tzvas Kopeh, or Kiyadash Shomei Am Chayso Barachamim, right? So the tefillah of anybody, tefillah of the Jewish people, Hashem always listens to. To speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's not such a Chiddush. Anybody can do that. But that conversation is Moshe being unique. And Nebu, the Torah is saying, why is it that Moshe had an ability to speak to Kadosh Baruch Hu? That's because why? This language afterwards, I had a conversation with David, and I wanted to, worthwhile mentioning, that if a person is not about the resume buildup, but rather it's truly about, it's about the job. Meaning, I'm such a Eved Neman, as the Torah tells us in Nesu's Parsha. The Moshe is literally an Eved Hashem. So what you accomplish, it's not about you, right? It's I represent God. I represent His Baruch Hu. I'm doing what needs to get done. It's not about, I don't need recognition. In fact, I recognize the contribution that I'm doing is so big that it's not really about me. what I'm doing is so important. I need to step in when there's trouble. I need to be able to, you know, to stand above our scene. I need to accomplish all these things. And they're big and they're important, but it's not about me. And because it's not about me, that's really what it means to be an anav. And therefore, continue what we said yesterday, when someone makes fun of you or knocks at you, you don't respond, right? So I think that's the connection between these two ideas. That it's when it's when you truly see it as, excuse me, it's allergies. When you see yourself as being a shaliach of Hashem, that you're a nema and you're a servant, and you're a faithful servant, you realize who you represent. It's not about you, and that will explain, my friends, at the one of the greatest moments of Moshe Rabbeinu. What's one of the greatest achievements of Moshe Rabbeinu? It's after Chet Egel, when Hashem says, okay, listen, hit the reset button. After Noach, I hit the reset button. I start with Noach. Whatever happened before Noach was essentially destroyed. And with Noach, we began this new world. So Hashem tells Moshe, in many ways, and by the way, conversation for another time, there are many parallels to Noach and Noach and Avram is also parallels, but even more parallels to Noach and Moshe. Right. Well, the most obvious one is a teva. Only two people who spend time in a teva. I realize that the size and the duration of the teva are quite different. There's only two people who are in a teva, right? In fact, the word v'inachem Hashem l'hara Hashem l'asos l'amo v'inachem is definitely a Noach word. Many parallels. I'm sure I've spoken to him about it before, but not for now. And what happens when Moshe is told that the world will be destroyed, or the just people will be destroyed, and I'll start from you. What's Moshe saying? Erase you from your name. It's not about me, right? Oh, these people need to be destroyed, so hit the reset button, start with me. Most people would be like, yeah, start with me. I want to be the one, right? Because it's, you know, we'll become a bunch of Greenbergites, right? Greenbergites or whatever the term is, right? Not, you know, Israelites or, you know, Moshelites or something. Right? Because you get my point. So the idea is that Moshe wasn't interested in, yeah, get rid of those guys because it's all about me. Moshe's like, listen, I'm here to serve the Jewish people. I'm going to represent you. If there's no Jewish people, I want out. So I think that's also the connection between Hashem telling specifically Miriam and Aaron b'chol beisi nemanhu, that Moshe is faithful. He's allowed into my house at any point in time. He has access to whoever he wants. It's because of his behavior, because he recognizes he was great. He's not a pushover by any stretch of imagination. He's not Nebuch. He realizes things are much bigger and they're not about him. Okay, so I wanted to kind of like just add that to our conversation yesterday. It's clearly not a contradiction, but you know, as an appendage, as an aftermath to our discussion. Now, with only a very brief period of time, let's... okay, fine. Let me actually do this. Where's my Zoom? There's my Zoom. Okay. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to share with you okay. So, this week's parsha has so much going on. Like, it's actually filled with a lot of stories, a lot of different narratives. I just felt that I just need to focus on them because I actually believe they are chock filled with incredible content. And one of them is right here. So we find ourselves in the second year, in the first month, and now it's Pesach time, right? Great, who doesn't like Pesach? And then we all know what happens. There's a bunch of people who are tummy, right? And they couldn't keep Pesach at the proper date. You know, like, I'm sure you've never heard of, like, makeup tests, you know? So they wanted to make up Pesach, which is a very strange concept, by the way. You can make up Pesach that you miss, right? It's a very odd idea here. Okay, but nonetheless, they, I don't want this Rashi. I don't want this Rashi. There we go. And they turn to Moshe and to Aaron, and they say, and look how they're identified. V'imrun Hashem elav, anachnu t'minei nefesh adam. We were tamei. So remember, a person who's tamei cannot keep the laws of Pesach. And listen to this language. Lama nigara. Why should we be left out? So the answer is very simple. What do you mean? You touch the dead body. That's just those are the rules. Like, you know, it's like you have a makeup test. Well, you missed the first test. Why did you miss the first test? I had COVID. You know, I had fever. I wasn't feeling well. It wasn't like I was in, you know, Miami on vacation. It wasn't if I decided to skip. I was true. And no, I had a legitimate reason, right? Right? I was sick. So, okay, you're sick, right? You know, like, it's fine. But they look at it as, why should we cut back, right? They so desperately want to keep this Pesach. Like, sometimes you're just exempt from the test. You know, like, okay, just don't worry about it. Like, just make them fine. It'll be worth more, right? We'll just roll the marks into the next one. No. They look at it and they say, Lama Nigara. Now, what's even shocking about this, Moshe's like, you stumped me. I actually don't know how to respond. Imdu Veshma, Maitze Veshma. Okay, I got to call God. I got to make a phone call. I don't know what to do. And Hashem's now will literally have a new rule. There will now be a new rule because of these people. Wow, that is absolutely shocking. Okay, now, I want to show you the language, how positive, I thought this, you can do Hebrew English back there, I thought of each other, maybe not. But I want to show you how positive the rabbi thought of these people. Like, you'd think they could be like chutzpahdik? Like, you know, we missed out, like, you know. No, they are literally looked upon as righteous individuals. Like, oh, again, their claim? Like, calm the dead body, we want our own Pesach. The response to this is uncanny. The Chazal, what did I just do? The response to this is, oh, there you go. I do have Hebrew English back to that. Okay. I want to just show you how positive this is. That really, like, what would have happened at some point in time, the Moshe would have, just like everything else in the Torah, would have written about this parsha. By the way, parsha means paragraph, right? Yeah, Moshe would have written this paragraph. Like, it would have been included in the laws of Pesach. Where? I don't know. Maybe like in Shmos, when they left Mitzrayim. Maybe they talk about Pesach at another point in time in the Torah. Like, that's where it should be. By the way, I must mention, I mentioned this last week, I think. I don't remember anymore. But we have a very important rule in the Torah. The rule is, laws need to be found where laws should be found. Anytime there's a mitzvah in Sefer Bamidbar, that's not where it should be, with zero exceptions. Every mitzvah in Bamidbar should not be there. They should be probably in Vayikra. Why they were chosen to be recorded in Bamidbar is because there must be a connection with the mitzvah and the narrative. Right? We spoke that a little bit last week. That's very, very fundamental. But Midbar is a narrative. There's a story that's happening. And any mitzvah, any halacha that comes in is being recorded there because of its connection to the context that it's found in. Okay? That's very important. Oh, one moment, please. Yes, Gila?
I finished my video on Zoom.
Oh, that's wonderful. Want to say hi to everybody? But you can't really see them because we're doing a share script. Forget it. It doesn't matter. Okay. You want to sit on my lap? You can sit on my lap. No problem.
Bye.
Okay. You got to give me 10 minutes, okay? Now. Okay. So, oh, wow. Look at this. And my son just brought me in a smoothie. Oh, and now Gila's. Okay. Welcome to COVID. Now, close the door, please. Thank you. Now that I totally lost my chair. Okay. So that is a very important fundamental concept in Bamidbar, that anytime you see a mitzvah, that's not there. So what's going on here? So we have to understand that this should have been, this was going to be recorded somewhere. This concept of, like, you know, a second Pesach. You know, Pesach take two, make a Pesach. But because these people came, that's what the Rashi is quoting here, that because they came and they were so sincere and they were so earnest and they were so honorable, the language that is used, Zachu Elus Dermal Yadehem. Imagine you got your name or your people, your Hevra, got a name in the Torah because of what you wanted. Megagalin Zachus Al Yadei Zakai. Right? That, what does it mean? A person gets a Zachus because they're worthy. Meaning that, what is it? Meritorious deeds are brought about by worthy men. That is how positive Chazal looked at these people. Right? That they had this sense of, we want to accomplish something. We want to do something. By the way, is this like the most, you know, fancy halach in the world? No. You know, don't get me wrong. Pesach's pretty fun. Pesach's enjoyable. But this is the korban. This is the korban. By the way, they still couldn't eat matzah, you know, last month. I got to make it clear, right? It's just a korban Pesach. It's like the worst of all things, right? You can't eat, right? You could eat the korban Pesach, but guess what? You still couldn't have bread. Right? It's like the worst, you know, it's like the worst of both worlds in many ways. Okay. These words are literally almost echoed verbatim by other people in our parsha. Does anyone have any idea what I'm referring to? Anyone know where else, oops, what did I just do here? Does anyone know where else or who else echoes very similar words in our parsha?
Yaroslavchad.
Excellent, very good. Very good. The okay, let me explain. Remember, if they are preparing to enter the land of Israel, they're preparing to enter the land of Israel, they are getting ready to basically fulfill this incredible, you know, dream, mission, opportunity, this great land that their forefathers were not able to go to. They've been in Egypt, and now that's it. Now they get to... they get to travel. They get to come home. And what happens is there's a terrible, terrible, terrible tragedy that takes place. But, which maybe we'll talk about tomorrow. But all of a sudden, what seems to come almost out of left field, you have a group of women who turn to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they turn to him, and they are going to also have a request. They are not going to be very happy with the current situation, and they are going to express their reservation at the current situation. Okay? So that is exactly what happens in our parsha. I'm just searching for it right now. Give me 1 second. It's right here. Okay. So again, just to repeat, the if the Torah is all about focusing in on a narrative, if it's all about focusing in on a story, if it's all about focusing in on, you know, what exactly the process of entering the land of Israel is, any time that were to get interrupted, we would need to ask the question why that is. Why would you interrupt this narrative for anything that is going to break from the actual story itself? Okay, so where do we see the story of Vinos Lavchan? So we have to fast forward a little bit to chapter 27. So now I want to do share the screen, share the screen. Open up, share the screen. Here we go. We're going to see an example of people. How do I do this? Scroll down. Here we go. That's it. Fine, found it. Awesome. I don't want this. Okay, look at the language here. You now have a group of women who are going to argue something, right? Daughters of Slavchad, here's other names. They go to Moshe. They want to say, listen, we're not involved in that Korach guy. Ah, here's what I'm looking for. Look at Pasuk Dalet. Lama Yigara. Wow. Look at this language. Lama, you remember the language from before? I tried to do like two screens at once. I need to open up a new window, but I lost the window, so forget about it. Right? So this notion of we do not want to be left out. Wow. Why should our father not be left out? We also want a piece of the land. Meaning if inheritance went by the father, if inheritance was only about the father and the father's land, look at these people. They're like, we are going to be left out. We're not going to have land in the land of Israel. This notion, my friends, of not being left out. This Benot Socha didn't want to be left out when it comes to the land of Israel. And these people didn't want to be left out when it comes to the concept of the Korban Pesach. The idea of Korban Pesach in the land of Israel that are connected, mentioned in many places, except for Yeshua. But here I want to focus on what I think is a very beautiful idea. The next few minutes that we have. And this is the following. You know, in life, we're sometimes we get accomplished, we're so accustomed to the way life is. And for many months and for many years, life was a certain way. And then March it. And our life was totally turned upside down. There was this, what we thought was normal, our routine, our school, our life, our friends, within hours, turned on its head. And God forbid, the way we are living now should never be considered normal. Chas v'shalom. But how do we respond? Do we say, Lama Yigara? Do we say we are missing out? And we long also to have Pesach. We also miss Pesach in many ways, right? We miss perhaps having Pesach with our parents, with our grandparents, or with our friends that we usually celebrate Pesach with. And I think the question is, do we still long for those things? Because here's the problem. After 3 months, it's been almost 3 months, you can get certain things in a state of inertia. You can get used to things, right? And I think that would be very problematic. Because both of these two things, in many ways, are about Am Yisrael. Pesach, yes, it's true. And again, we don't really appreciate this because the world that we live in today, like, yeah, okay, I can do Pesach on my own. I can do Pesach. But the notion of not bringing your korban to Beis HaMikdash is an individual bringing their individual responsibility to a place of community. The land of Israel, it's not just about, like, I have land, I can build a house. You know what I mean? Like, I own property in Thornhill or something, in Toronto, or in Edmonton, or wherever, in New Jersey, right? No. It's about being part of something much bigger and much greater. Being part of a community, part of a people, being part of literally the goral, the fate and the destiny of Am Yisrael. And the question is, when do we stop asking Lama Yigara? And sometimes, you know, when you're putter from things, and it's true, listen, we were all exempt from shul, and we were all exempt from minyan. Yes, for sure. There's no question. No question. And God wanted us to be healthy, and that was our calling at the time. And that's fine. But do we miss it? Do we say to ourselves, I feel like I'm still missing something. I'm missing this notion of what it means to be part of community. Listen, I value being an individual. I value my family. And I think those things are of paramount importance. There's no question. And you need a balance. You definitely need a balance. But at the same time, when you miss out on opportunities for mitzvahs, the amount of chesed that we can do is still tremendous, but it is still a little bit different. And there are certain things. And the question is, do we still ask Lama Yigara? Do we still realize that we're still missing out on certain things that are vital to leading a vibrant Jewish communal life? Also, guess what? the rabbis look very favorably upon Ben Osofchad. You know, this women's movement, right? They look very favorably. Chazal speak of these women as righteous of righteous, right? I can show the Rashi's another time, right? Righteous of righteous. So it's an amazing thing. When you ask for something and you're genuine and you really feel like you're missing out on something, it's not bad. You have to speak your mind. And this is not just true with things we've been missing out for the last few months, but if you feel that there's something that you also want to partake in and you are sincere, speak your mind. So they were able to go to Moshe Rabbeinu twice, two different groups of people, because they sincerely wanted something. They felt they were missing out. I think that is also a very powerful lesson, because sometimes we're used to status quo. Speak your mind. You know what? I also want something. Let's try something new. Let's try something different. Let's not always have things the way they are. And sometimes leaders, right? Moshe Rabbeinu needs to be told these things. And if you are sincere in your Avodas Hashem, you can also have a parsha named after you. You also have a mitzvah named after you. And I think sometimes, you know, we get too much caught up in the way things were and status quo. And sometimes you have to, you know, not be afraid to ask for things, not be afraid to challenge status quo with the right intention. And who knows what also you can accomplish if you really feel that you're missing out on things. And so I guess, you know, the two messages for today in our Uplifting Torah are number one, with the idea of what is modesty and humility and those ideas. And number two, what do you miss out on? What do you yearn for? What are you missing in life often defines who you really are, who you want to be. And if it's something of value, let's see if we can make it happen and bring that for us, for our communities and our families, each in their own way. Have a great day, everybody. Great to see everybody. See you again tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.